Good morning. Welcome back to the Independent Republican, Mike Graham, right here on Talk TV. We've got lots to do. We've got plenty of time to do it in, of course, because coming up in this hour, we're going to be discussing Prince Harry once again getting himself muddled up about the past, getting himself all confused about what it was that actually did happen in his life, as opposed to what he thinks happened in his life after he saw a therapist about it and unburdened himself and suddenly discovered that nobody was ever helping him. It turns out that at least one of the claims that he made in this Invictus documentary that came out yesterday on Netflix is completely and utterly wrong. He talks about how, oh, I never got any help. Nobody wanted to talk to me. I didn't really know what to do. And then it turns out he gave another interview in 2017 in which he talked about how great Prince William, his brother, had been, who had actually advised him to get therapy and who had helped him through many of the traumas that he felt he was suffering from. He also talked about how he never really got over the death of his mother, Princess Diana, the former Princess of Wales, who died, of course, 26 years ago today. We're going to talk to Di Davis, former head of the Royal Protection Squad and a former chief superintendent of the Metropolitan Police. The Sun this morning has sort of answered back to many of the claims that Harry has made and said that actually we did care, Harry. Prince claimed that the media ignored wounded British soldiers. The Sun have made it very clear that actually that's not true. And severely wounded campaigner Ben Parkinson is in the paper this morning saying, I have no idea what Harry is talking about. The Sun and the media in general have been amazing to me and also given incredible support to my family. And also, Help for Heroes raised £370 million. And they call it Harry's £370 million gaffe. I'm like, oh, we've sort of come to be used to now, Harry, giving a rather interesting and, shall we say, slightly invented version of the truth. After all, there's been plenty of gaffes over the years, all the way back to that Oprah Winfrey interview that he did before he put his own book out, which also contained loads of things which nobody thinks actually happened. So let's talk to Di Davis and see what he makes of it all. Di, very good morning to you.
Yes, good morning to you, sir.
And once again, I'm sorry to say that we talked about this yesterday, and myself and Kevin O'Sullivan both said, look, you know, the Invictus Games is a fine sort of event. It's something that I think we should probably, you know, congratulate Harry for coming up with, and it's obviously helpful to an awful lot of people. But he does have this tendency to kind of give his own truth about things which he thinks happened, but which turn out not to have happened. And he seems to be a guy who continually says things like, nobody cared about me, nobody did anything for me, nobody was there to help me, and most of that isn't true.
Well, you're absolutely right, as always. What you and your colleagues said this morning is absolutely right. I'm mystified why a man of his background and alleged intelligence keeps making these gaffes. They are, and unfortunately, if you tell untruths, you will be found out. And the papers this morning are full of people alleging he is telling his version of the truth, which most people don't agree with. It's extremely sad, but when I look at him, he's got what I call the me syndrome. It's all about often him instead of the hundreds, if not thousands, of men and women who have suffered far more than he ever has, in my opinion. So it's very sad that yet again, we're having the publicity, and undoubtedly, as you say, the Invictus Games, which he set up as a copy of an American organization, all credit to him. And again, why does he continually attack the British press? As you rightly say, they raised over £320 million to servicemen. And I haven't found anybody who's critical in this instance of the British media. On the contrary.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of reasons to have a go at the British media, and he does it all the time. But again, in this case, he was wrong. He's complained, for example, that the British press ruined his deployment to Afghanistan. But the actual reality was that the UK media knew he was in Afghanistan, but didn't publish that fact and didn't publish anything about it while he was there. It was kept a secret by all papers in this country and all news organisations, but his cover was blown by the Drudge Report, which is a US-based internet site with a world exclusive about Harry the hero, and then by Australian women's magazine New Idea. He tells the Netflix documentary how angry he was that his cover was basically blown and his deployment was revealed, but it wasn't revealed by a British newspaper or by any British media organisation.
Well, yet again, you're absolutely right in your reporting. And it is right. He surely, somebody, what kind of advice does he get? Does he go to the same school of advice as Uncle Andrew?
Yeah.
Because he likewise was given poor advice. And again, whoever's advising Harry, whether it's his wife or anyone else, it's very poor advice, and he does no credit to himself. You know, he can claim some credit for setting up this Invictus and supporting injured men and women. That everybody agrees with. What nobody, and I was looking quickly at the voting, you know, 6,000-7,000 vis-a-vis about 20 say he's a complete idiot. Wow. And he's behaving like a prat yet again. And yes, it's very sad for the royal family. And again, he's attacking his own brother, who allegedly, we weren't there, gave good advice. He's also dashing his friends, who at that time have given him good advice. He looks to me as still somebody who's suffering with mental illness.
Yeah.
And that would explain why, in one sense, he's coming out with this load of rubbish, frankly.
Well, and I'm sure it was very traumatic to lose his mother at such a young age, but we can't forget that his brother was also in the same situation. He was maybe a little bit older, but nevertheless, you know, it was a terribly traumatic event when Princess Diana died 26 years ago today, and we all probably remember it. I'm sure, I don't know if you were still working in those days and what you were doing, but, you know, we all remember it in an incredibly kind of visceral way, I think, because it affected an awful lot of people in Britain at the time.
Well, it did. And yes, I was in charge of actually royalty protection at the time. And I got the phone call shortly after about 12:30 a.m. From my duty officer. And then events took place. And we were extremely busy, as you can imagine. And my then deputy flew that morning to Paris to coordinate the event. So it was a huge affair. And yes, I certainly remember it. Didn't get much sleep that week.
No.
But, you know, going back to it, yes, it's tragic, but men and women have suffered far more, and I'm not deriding mental illness. It is a huge issue if you've got it. But, you know, there are men and women with no arms, no legs, and I don't hear them whinging to the same extent. So my heart goes out to them. I do anything to support them, as most of us would. Unfortunately, this young, well, he's not young anymore, this man has had such a privileged upbringing, and thousands of people across the world lose their parents, and it's very sad and it's traumatic. Of course it is. I'm an orphan myself. You wouldn't be surprised to know at my age. No, seriously, you know, people do suffer, but they don't go on about it and don't have the platform, as he continuously does, to open his big mouth, unfortunately.
Well, that's the problem.
It should, should be about those men and women in the services, and great publicity, but let's talk about them, not Prince Harry, I always say.
I think that's right, because he does always manage to put himself kind of front and centre of the story. And it's almost as though if somebody's convinced him that something happened, he believes that it did happen. You know, he even went as far as to suggest, incredibly, I thought, when he was giving those interviews to Netflix and the previous series that we've seen, that, you know, he sort of left Britain and because he almost feared for his own life in the way that he thought he might end up the same way as his mother, almost sort of suggesting that he believed the conspiracy theory that she was murdered by somebody.
Well, yes, indeed, he's raised that as conspiracy. And one of the things, I'm off tomorrow to lecture on a cruise ship on the history of attacks on the British family, royal family, over the centuries.
Yeah.
You know, this is an issue that he continually raises. And I can assure you, I've spent years investigating myself, along with Operation Paget, into the events of Paris.
Yeah.
And I'm 100%, 1,000% convinced that it was a tragic accident, as are most rational people. And I spend an hour giving a lecture on the true facts, what really happened, as against the nonsense that is talked about by amazingly, what you think are sensible people. And if I had a pound for every time and say, well, you would say that, well, anybody, as your listeners know, on any program, I tell it as I believe it. And boy, do I believe this was an accident. So for him to think this was a conspiracy, having been assured by Lord Stevens, who carried out the Scotland Yard inquiry, the second of three inquiries, and then the verdict of the jury at the inquest, for him to continually go on shows to me there is a crack in his mental illness, and he is suffering from mental illness. And he looks to me, as somebody has dealt a lot with mentally ill people over the years, he looks to me still mentally ill, which is very sad.
Yes, he hasn't quite come to terms with it all, because, you know, what we know about the paparazzi who were chasing the car is that they were all from foreign organisations, foreign media organisations. We also know that the car had been chopped up and was re-put back together, so it wasn't really safe if it was ever involved in a crash. We know that Henri Paul had taken some medication if he hadn't also had a drink. And we also know that the fact that she had left her Royal Protection Squad behind in order to be protected by Mohammed Al-Fayed was a massive error on her part.
Well, it's a huge, huge error on her part, and if Royalty Protection had been protecting her at that time, no way would they have allowed anyone to drive at those speeds. And let's face it, it was speed combined with alcohol and, as you say, some aspects of drugs that Henri Paul had been taken. But you know, the press don't kill you. There may be a pain sometimes, but they don't kill you. And unfortunately, what killed Princess Diana was a drunken driver, and I'm 1,000% convinced of that, having spent years and years looking into it myself, on top of the other facets that have gone on over the years. But still, you get people, and I'm sure people listening today will say, well, he would say that. Well, anyone who knows me says, no, I wouldn't, and I humbly believe and positively believe, as an investigator, that that is the true story. She was murdered,
yes,
not by not by conspiracy, but by a drunken driver.
Right. And, I mean, Lord Spencer, you know, her brother, didn't help matters when he more or less accused the British press of sort of chasing her to her death. And I remember working at Daily Express at the time, and people would ring up the newspaper office and basically accuse us of killing her. You know, it was unbelievable.
Well, it was an absolute nonsense. And as you know, some members of the press actually went along with Mr. Fayed's version of Ivan, so that it was murder. Well, they equally should hang their heads in shame, because every facet of evidence points against that, as I keep saying. But no, you're quite right. But again, Princess Diana herself had her contacts in the media, and she encouraged some of the paparazzi in the south of France and actually posed for them.
Yeah.
So again, there's a lot of nonsense talked about by people who are simply not aware of the full circumstances. It's a very interesting saga that continues to interest people, and people like me still talk about it by giving lectures as to the true story.
Well, it is one of those fascinating stories, and I think people will always want to hear from people like yourself, Di, because you knew so much about what actually happened at the time, and that's, you know, very valuable in this day of kind of day and age of you know, counterpoints and, you know, myths, and even the likes of Prince Harry not really remembering exactly what happened. Appreciate your time, Di Davis. Thank you very much indeed. Former head of Royal Protection, who was indeed head of Royal Protection when Princess Diana died, when the news broke from Paris in the middle of the night. I certainly remember where I was, and I also remember working that week in an incredibly kind of 24/7 round the clock way, because you literally could not make enough newspapers to sell. People were buying them up by the dozen. It was an extraordinary time. And obviously Harry has now put himself back into the public eye by saying a load of things which have once again got him into quite a bit of trouble. A piece here saying, after a period of relative calm, Prince Harry has reopened loads of old wounds with fresh swipes at the royal family, claiming that no one helped him as his life unravelled after returning from Afghanistan. And it simply isn't true. This is Talk TV.